That's the intro sound now.
That's all, that's all you get. It's all you're getting from me today. There's no gust of intro. It's just...
You know what? I want to jump straight in on this topic here. It's 2023. Why are people still emailing out waveforms of songs and not MP3s at the same time? Why am I getting sent .wavs and not .mp3s of music?
Yeah, like you get sent a, you try and attach a .wav to an email, yeah? You got to use fucking one of them subsidiary bloody storage things because they're too big to attach to an email.
You've got to attach an external hard drive to your email just to send a waveform. And bruv, I'll be honest, yeah? There's certain albums I haven't listened to because you've sent me the whole album and it's all waveforms.
100%. 100%.
And I don't want to start this podcast on negative vibes today.
No. But this actually needs to be spoke about, to be fair.
It's not negative vibes. It's advice. Please. And you know what's crazy to me is some of the big labels as well. Like, I'm not just talking about independent artists. And
100%. Like, I'm normally talking about the labels, actually, to be fair.
Yeah. I'm talking about labels sending out .wavs. And there's no MP3 attachment.
I keep calling them dot wavs.
Dot wavs, yeah. But like, I'll be real. Sometimes I have the energy and the motivation to convert a single into an MP3 so I can put it into my Serato. But I'll be real with you. If you're sending me a whole album and it's all waveforms.
You got to make it easy for us. Like,
I'm not converting the whole thing. And that shit, for people that don't know, waveforms, yeah, dot wavs take up 10 times the amount of space.
One album is like quarter of your hard drive on your laptop.
Yeah, one dot wav is 10 times the amount of space of a dot mup free. So
a dot mup free. A mup free.
A dot mup free. And yeah, like,
I feel like we got that much music, bro, yeah. You got to make it easy for us. We get sent so much shit. 100%. Do you think we have time to be downloading it and converting it into Muppet Frizz? We don't.
I haven't got time and I haven't got energy. Do you know how much music I have to get through this week anyway? And you're sending me dot wavs.
Yeah, nah, bro, do you know what? I actually like this conversation because I've thought this a million times and I've just never thought to bring it up.
I think
that's a DJ turnoff.
Yeah, it gives me the ick.
I get the DJ ick. If I see the WAV, I'm just like, do you know what, yeah? Unless I know it's 30. But if it's like new music and I'm digging and I'm trying to source some new shit or whatever, that could potentially make me not listen to your music. I'm just being 100% real. I might not download that shit.
For real.
Because I'm trying to save storage.
No,
you need to go and get a room in one of them fucking storage spaces in the city center, yo. Like, you need to like buy a room just to put your wavs in. Extra rental space.
Yeah, that's why I built a studio. It's nothing to do with putting my decks here. It's to put all the dot wavs in there that you keep sending me.
When we was doing Compound and we had that container, it's because we were getting sent so many wavs. It wasn't because we were streaming.
But actually, you know what? Now I'm saying it out loud. What one thing I realized I haven't done, and I think probably the people at the label, they're not the ones doing the mail out. So if the label has a radio plugger or whatever, they're not the technical ones, are they? The music's been sent from the studio or sort of from the producer to the department that services 100%. It to DJs and then to the DJs. They're just handing it off. So actually, really,
some of them do both, you know, some do both.
But what I'm saying is actually the people at the labels that are sending them out are probably just not aware that this actually is an issue. And then on the flip side, some DJs cream their pants over a dot wav.
Mainly house DJs.
Oh, it's lossless. It's uncompressed.
Don't come for me, house DJs.
In fact,
don't come for me, house DJs. I'm joking.
I saw a post the other day. It was a DJ job post, yeah, that said, is anyone available for a .wav only DJ set? The venue specifically said you have to play off waveforms.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I laughed at that because I'm like, what? Who's even...
Is someone going to come over and vet the list and make sure everything's a WAV? Or do they have supersonic hearing where they're like, oh, this is an MP3. Oh, this is a WAV.
Get off the decks right now. You're playing an MP3.
What? You cannot tell the difference between a WAV and an MP3 on ear. Unless you're in like one of them clubs where the system is like tuned to a T.
Really? Yeah. Unless you're an actual specialist.
Unless you're a sound guy.
I've been doing this. I've done my 10,000 hours. Yeah. I don't think I could tell the difference on a crystal clear sound system. I don't think I could tell the difference between an MP3 and a waveform.
No, I don't think
I could.
I could tell the difference. Obviously, you get different level MP3s and that, innit? So you know when something's a shit sound quality. But if you've got a high bit rate MP3, like
that's I'm not talking. I'm not like, talking about like 96 bit rate MP3s. I'm talking about 320s. 320s, the proper ones.
Yeah, 100%. Like 320, 320 can run all day.
Like, I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference between that and a WAV.
Unless, I feel like you've got to be, like you say, you've got to have a really good ear and be a proper sound guy. Like, if you're just out here, there's DJ in residencies and that, and you're telling me I could play you an MP3, then a 320 MP3, then play you a WAV, and you can tell me which one's which, I'd say, chatting shit.
Yeah, so I think, you know what we have to do as DJs? Oh. Actually, we just have to start replying to the emails and saying, can you please send over MP3 versions?
I'm going to start leaving in the feedback. You know, we have to put the feedback.
That's the fat drop ones. Fat drop ones are okay. They're usually MP3s, I find.
Yeah, but loads of these mailouts, you got to leave little comments or click a little thing.
When I get ones that are just a link, they're like it's not a Dropbox. I can't remember what it's called. Sharebox or something.
Is it just called the box?
Yeah,
pause.
Maybe.
Pause. I'm just gonna store these songs in the box. Oh, I'm having one of them days today, guys. I'm sorry.
That's where you're putting all your WAVs.
All my WAVs are in the box. A big fucking box.
Pause.
Oh, but, my dear.
Yeah, you know what? I have a feeling the people at the label that are sending them out don't actually realise that to some of us it's an inconvenience.
Yeah.
They don't know. Because I think the producers are just sending over the .wavs. I don't write back to the label and say like, oh, this is long for me. I'm actually going to just reply. Next time I get an album like that, I'm going to just reply and be like, can you please send me an MP3?
Yeah, 100%, man.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, and if you're like, well, .wavs is the only thing that's available, I'll just be like, okay, thank you. And just never play the song.
Yeah, big up the mail outs that send the choice. You know what I mean? We need the choice of both.
We need MP3s, WAVs. Not .wavs. Or the other one, AIFF. Who even uses that?
That is a shambles.
Who even uses that?
That's like a bootleg, yo. That's a bootleg file.
But they still get sent out sometimes, you know. Like someone was in the studio and recorded their song into voice recorder and saved it and then sent it out.
Yeah, when you record it into notes and something and then you save it. And send it, and it's like a random fucking...
voice note.
Oh, my days. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm going to start... I'll just start leaving it in the feedback. Bro, do you remember, when we had to... We're short age now. Do you remember when we used to have to do the feedback actually written on sheets for songs? Did you ever get sent that shit when they'd send out all the vinyls and that, but then you had to like fill out your reaction forms on like paper sheets and mail them back?
I don't know, you know.
Wow, you mustn't have got the plug.
It rings a bell, actually.
Yeah, I remember getting sent like the vinyls and stuff, like big up like Atlantic, Sony, all them guys. And it was paper reaction sheets that would get sent with the vinyl, and you had to. Yeah. And if you didn't send them back, they would like potentially strike you off the list and that. So like you'd be sending off like an envelope full of reactions at the end of the month.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of does sound familiar, but I don't really remember. I can't picture the the feedback sheet, and I don't think I ever sent any back. I don't know.
They would just have like. That's like leave a comment and it'd be like five options and you could just put like a tick in each one and it would be like, I can't remember what it would say, like great, responsive, crowd, whatever, like a scale of like whatever. You know what I mean? And you could just fill them out. But you would get you would get blacklisted if you didn't fill them out, man. Like
I stayed on the list, so I must have filled them out then if they were there.
Yeah, that was the way it was done back then. But now you can just click a fucking
crazy.
Now you just click
a button. there are some. Do you remember Digiwax? Did you ever use Digiwax?
Oh yeah, that was so bootleg. No offense, Digiwax.
Digiwax. Digiwax was like, I feel like Digiwax was like the original but US version of DJ City. That was the first record pool that I think I signed on to. And you had to put the feedback for the song, but you had there was like 12 questions for each one. Where did you hear this first? What should the artist do with the record next? What format would you like this song in? Would you like any press time? Have you heard of this artist before? What do you think of the record? Any more comments? And you had to fill every single one of them in before you could download the song. Even the any more comments, you had to actually type some shit.
Bro. But
my process of listening to music, I listen to music in my own time, innit? Not when I'm downloading it. So I used to literally just click down every single drop down field and just put whatever answer. Yeah. And then in the any more comments, I just used to put a dot, a full stop, and then push go, and then I could download it. So all the answers I ever made for Digiwax were just bullshit because I was just click, 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 click.
Yeah, whatever. I hear that. Because it was too much. It's like now when you want to download a remix of SoundCloud or something and you've got to literally, sign into your Spotify, give us a like, drop your handle to your Twitter, leave a comment, give us access to your fucking mortgage finances. Give us tell us the name of your dad's brother's son. And then only then will you get through to the download gate, which then you got to do a questionnaire.
Yeah, it is mad. You got to earn this music, buddy.
Oh, I get the engagement thing, but shit, bro, it's like you got to do Krypton Factor before you get a download.
All right, I just go to Amazon Music and I just pay. I just buy the MP3s now from Amazon Music.
I hear that. Yeah, I'm still buying on iTunes, man.
99p and I don't have to actually answer any questions about my life.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
History.
Yeah, they dig deep. They want to dig deep as well, bro.
I'm doing a whole GCSE just to download an MP3. Oh, WAV.
You got to actually be qualified to download and edit these days, bro.
Shit, how many qualifications I've got? Imagine going through one of these 6-page questionnaires just to get access to the song, only to find out that the only download available is a .wav.
You get to the end of the assault course and you don't want to fucking download it anyway. Oh my days. Oh, how have we ended up here? How have we been talking about WAVs and MP3s for 15 minutes?
I know. Absolutely love that to bits. But yeah, I had to get it off my chest, man. So I was clearing out emails the other day. And the amount of songs that I downloaded, it almost crashed the internet in Maidstone because I had so many WAVs downloading.
The guy filled up his iCloud.
Filled up every iCloud in the sky. Crazy. Here's a question for you, yeah?
Oh, my days. Good bands.
Do you think DJs should share music?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, on what capacity? When I say share music, like, cool, send me that song real quick. Like, that edit sounds sick. Can you shoot it over?
Yeah. I don't mind that.
Can I have your library?
Yeah, the library thing. I'm not here. I don't.
I'm not here.
I'm not here. Silence is not home.
This number has been disconnected.
Do you know what it is? Right. So don't get it twisted. Right. There's been times where DJs have helped me out and sent me like little folders and stuff. Totally here for that. Yeah. If you're like in a sticky situation, I've definitely been helped out once or twice with bits where someone sent me a folder of songs or this is something specific that I need help with or. Yeah, there's been plenty of times in it. Big up the DJs that have helped me over the years and stuff like that. I'm here for that. Someone says, yo, dope edit, whatever, cool. I'm here for that. But you can't be asking for someone's library, bro. In my opinion, I feel like that's your, like, arsenal, isn't it? That's your prized, like, possession. That's your career, like, molded into, like your musical Bible. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like, I feel like, and it's fucking lazy. Send me your library.
It is lazy. It's funny
library.
Because
it's like me going into a bank and saying, send me all your money because I don't want to fucking make any. Like, I mean, it's, obviously not that extreme, but it's just like,
you know what? There's two arguments to this, yeah. Because I feel like there's one side of the argument is like what some DJs would be like, yeah, you can have all the ingredients, but you can't cook like I can.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, you, I can give you every single song and I can put you into the club for the same amount of time that I'm playing that night.
Yep.
You cannot do with that library what I can do.
100%.
You haven't got the ability to. So there's that side of the argument, in which case, okay, cool,
man.
But on the flip side of it, I agree with you. Do you think it's like, you know what? It's actually my collection. Like, it's my collection. Like, I feel like DJs, especially like entry level or younger DJs these days, have it so easy right now.
Can it be any easier?
You can't
to build a library of music.
You can't just have everything easy. Like, yeah. if you want a library of music, you have to kind of build your library of music. There's a couple of exceptions, you know, and I've sent my entire library to people, or at least given them access to the entire library on a couple of occasions. There's like DJ friends that have had, like, for example, you know, sometimes you see it, they've left the laptop in the car and the car's been stolen or broken into, and they've literally lost the laptop and the backup hard drive. Their whole library is gone. In which case, you know what? I have a very extensive library because I went through an OCD phase of collecting every song ever made. So I've got a very, very big library of, brother, I've got like every old school, actually, shouts to my bro DJ Rome, because about 10 years ago we did a song swap and he gave me like every single old school garage track ever made on MP3. So I have a whole garage.
Yeah,
library.
You actually nice.
House music,
yeah, you nice.
Drum and
bass. You sent me in the garage crates.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
nice
yeah. Same.
The garage crates.
I sent you that same one. So, but I mean, feel like I would help someone out if their laptop's stolen and they've lost all of their music.
That's
all of
different.
Their, like, come on, man, I'm going to help you out, because
that's
I
different.
Hope that someone would do the same for me
exactly,
as well. Do you know
exactly.
what I mean? Because I'm like, fucked if that happens.
I'm sounding like a Scrooge McDuck here, but I'm with you on that one. Like, helping out the homies, if man are in a sticky situation, your laptop's been stolen, for sure.
Definitely.
For sure. But if you're coming and knocking on my door, cold calling. Like, knocking
yeah, it,
like,
is,
ah,
it is.
That's, can you give me your library, please, sir?
Like, but you know what? Even friends, like, even if they're my friends and they're younger DJs, I don't think I would give them access to the whole library.
Exactly.
I think I would be like, okay, write a list. Tell me what you want, and I'll pick it out for you. But I do, because I feel like it would almost be a little bit of tough love.
Well,
like, you've got to go, like, exactly. work out how to get the music, work out where to get your tools from. 100%. Like, don't, because I do like to open the doors for younger DJs, and I do like to help with accessibility and advice and stuff. And obviously that's one of the reasons we had the podcast, but.
Which is why you got to have that tough love, like you just said, bro.
Yeah, I do think it has to be
learning the trade.
Yeah, and because the other thing is as well, they might get halfway through their music search and think, this side of it, shit, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to search for music and if you don't want to build your library up like that, then this is not for you.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
100%. Do you know what I mean? Another exception I would make, which I have made before, is freeing up the clean music library.
The clean
I've got
music?
A very clean music. I've got
yeah,
a very 100%. Extensive clean music library. And there's been instances where DJs I know have just got new radio shows or, for example, have to play somewhere public where they need clean music.
Yep.
And I've just said, you know what? There's my whole entire clean collection. Just take it. Like, that's yours. It's already been checked.
Yeah.
There's no swearing. You can play it out in public. Take the whole lot. Do you know what I mean?
It's down to the individual situation, bro, you know. It's down
it is.
Because obviously, if you're just coming knocking on my door, being a lazy bastard asking for the library, then it's not going to happen. But like you said, you got to weigh up the situation. You got to weigh up the situation of what it is. If
have,
you are
hooking
up the homies and whatnot, then it's then yeah, man, then it's there for sure.
Absolutely.
But like you got to let man learn though. You got to make these man learn how to build their crit, bro. Because that's how you produce your sound as a DJ is your library.
100%. And the other thing is, I feel like you have to know what's in your library.
Yep.
I know, like, if someone in a club comes and asks me, can you play such and such, just off of what they're saying, I know mm-hmm. if I have the song or not.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, I know if it's in there and I know if it's not in there. I know.
Imagine you just give man 15,000 songs out your library, yeah? Which is what's on my Serato at the minute. It's like 15,000 tracks. They're going to have the fuckiest what's in there, bro.
No. You got 15,000 in your Serato?
Yeah.
I've got about 80,000.
Yeah, mine's been chopped down a lot because 80,000, bruv.
It's too much. I'm so jealous of you, bruv.
I would struggle to remember what's in my own library if it was 80,000.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I could not recite to you every single one of the 80,000.
Why not?
But I could do like 78,000. I'm still learning the last two. but I could tell you, if you ask me if I've got this and that, I know if it's in there or not.
Yeah, it's like when people ask you in the club for a song and you know you've not got it and they've not got it. You're like, search it. I'm like, I know it's not there.
Yeah.
I don't need to search for it.
Just search for it. Yeah, no, it's not there. No, go on YouTube.
And they'll be stood there looking at the screen, like next to you, and I'm just like,
or they'll go, can I look? No, you can't actually.
Bro, I was gonna go into another situation, but it was like when they say, oh yeah, what's next? I'm like, in about 40 seconds, you'll hear what's next.
Like, what's next? That is hands down the most pointless question.
What's next?
Ask a DJ.
In about 30 seconds, you'll hear the next song.
Those people are the same people that then go, how much do you get paid?
Oh, I think that is the rude.
I got asked that yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
It's when people don't actually understand, I guess. I don't know, but I've been asked that plenty of times. And I'm just like, don't be so rude.
The thing is, with my situation, it was like, I was playing in a store and a guy came over and he was like, how do
was
I
it just
apply?
A customer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even know if he was actually shopping, but it was a civilian. He just walked in and he just goes,
A civilian. A human.
How do I apply for a job? And I was like, what job? What do you mean? He goes, like you. Like, how do I apply for a job like you?
Oh, DJ.
And I was like, what, DJing in the shop? And he's like, yeah. My first question was, I was like, well, are you a DJ? And he was like, I mean, this, you got to ask. It could just be a normal person. I was like, are you a DJ? And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe just go and ask the managers, like go and ask them the process. Because funny enough, I actually don't know the process of how that would work for just like a random person that just wants
to start.
Yeah,
100%.
But yeah, I was just like, oh, we'll just go and speak to one of the managers. And he's like, oh, okay, how much do you get paid? So I guess it kind of sort of made sense that he would ask. It didn't come across rude, but I didn't tell him.
Right. I get that, yeah. But the problem is with DJing, we've had this chat about rates. It's all relative to your experience and who you are as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or self-employed. It's not like going into a shop and they'll say, right, £12 an hour. It's not how it works in the DJ
and
world.
Then they pay your tax for you.
No, exactly. Right. Like our thing is different, but then my guy might not know that. Like you say, he might just be starting out or coming through, and like there's a lot of other technicalities around DJing that some people don't know. So then when they come home and say, oh yeah, how much you get paid? Maybe they don't really know how deep that is of a question to be asking. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I never answer. I'll chat amongst my homies or with like you or like people close to me. Like I might maybe discuss rates and stuff, or if I'm trying to help, like people hit me up quite a lot about trying to liaise rates and how they should go in and whatever. And I'll always try and pass on advice and stuff like that. But it's not, I try not to talk about that, the rates a lot, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not really a thing. So when randoms call, like, oh, you're being paid dough for this, mate. How much you getting? Come on, how much you getting? It's my bro, like relax.
it's weird when random people do it. It's odd. So what do you reckon about sharing playlists between DJs? Like instead of the actual music, not the actual .wavs or MP3s.
I've seen this online before actually about people asking for you to share like history of your sets.
Yeah.
But then like I'm here for that. To an extent, but it depends how they're going to use that history.
Some corporate places use it to scrutinize what's been played, which I think is weird.
Comb over the selections.
Yeah, I do. I think that's a weird thing to do afterwards, comb over the history and see what's been... I don't know.
To check if you're playing MP3s or WAVs.
But I don't know. I actually feel more protective about my playlists than I do about the actual music.
It's like you said, it's how you can have the same ingredients, but can you?
And it's the recipe.
Yeah.
The playlist is the recipe.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
Yeah. And I feel like, again, you can have the same playlist as me, but you won't be able to play like I do in the club. But at the same time, I do feel like actually that does make you, it does put you a little bit closer.
Yeah, 100% it puts you closer because, like you say, it's how you play it. Don't forget, when you share Serato playlists, it shows how long the song's been played for and stuff like that. So they can send me read how you're jumping in and out of the tracks, bro.
Yeah.
Layout is there. Obviously, cue points and stuff might not be there and how you drop it might not be there. But the recipe is listed in order, how long you're playing these tracks for. Like, it can get very close to how you're outlaying your set. But again, like, if you incorporate like what you do with the mic and how you drop in certain songs and that, you can't read word plays. You can't copy certain loops and stuff like that. So, but yeah, like you say, you can get close, man. You could get pretty, like, especially if you give it to a technical DJ that was already on job, they could semi just emulate your set to an extent. So yeah, I get you on that. I feel like sharing the actual history is a bit more technical than giving someone
The history and the crates and the history. No one's actually ever asked. Maybe I'm not even as good as I think I am. No one's asked.
I've never actually been asked to hit like history or anything like that, but I have seen this. I'm pretty certain this debate happened online not long ago and people were saying it would be interesting to see how you maneuvered the night. But then I feel like,
Then you can just copy.
Yeah, that is one of the most integral parts of DJing, maneuvering a night yourself, being able to hold the crowd and jump around and hold a residency. You'll never learn if you just copy, because then what if you ever have to step away from that or go shuffle left or right? All of a sudden you're unstuck because you've learned off a pre-set like history of somebody else's. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's something I'm so conflicted with this one because
it's an
interesting
one, man.
I really endeavor to make sure that the younger DJs do understand how to structure a night, especially if they're a resident, or actually even if they're not a resident, even more importantly, if they're doing warm-ups for bigger DJs. Mm-hmm. They need to know how to structure the night. They need to know the first 2 hours ain't about the bangers. Mm-hmm. The first hour of the club, it doesn't matter if people aren't dancing. Get them to the bar, play the warm-up vibes. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
you can have people popping in a warm-up without playing the bangers though.
Absolutely. Like, you and I know that, but some DJs don't know that. And then they're under pressure from the get-go to just start playing all the bangers. And now by midnight, they've rinsed every big song and they've got to repeat themselves. So I feel like it is important to show them that and teach them that. But at the same time, like I said earlier, I've done my 10,000 hours and I feel like that 10,000 hours put me in the place that I am now. Mm-hmm. That meant I could learn this. So as much as I want to pass the knowledge on, you kind of have to learn it a little bit for yourself.
Yeah.
So I can advise you, but I don't think I would just free up my playlist or my history to just a random DJ. Can you just send me a playlist?
I'm all for passing on the guidance. I'm all for sitting down and talking with DJs and helping them wherever I can, 100%. And like, I do that shit regular anyway. But like, there's just handing the keys over to the whip.
Yeah.
Like, explain how to drive, teach them a few techniques. Don't just give it to them. Like,
don't give them the car.
You know what I mean? Don't hand over the whip, mate. Like, yeah.
The thing is, at the same time, to get that information, all they have to do is come and see you play and then open up notes on their phone and write down the entire list. So it's not even like what you do is a secret.
Bro, listen, this happened to me the other week. Yeah, I won't even mention venues or whatever, but one of the sound guys was just writing every single song in the notes.
Yeah.
Every single one. And I clocked it. I just thought, I'm not going to make a scene. I just let them do what they're doing. Like you say, you can write it all down, but can you play it like that? That's cool. Keep writing down the tracks. Brother, the whole night, the phone was coming out. Right.
But so, okay, so he's the sound guy. Do you think he was doing it because actually he really enjoyed DJ's your on the set?
Side. DJ's on the side.
Okay, right. So I was going to say, does he really enjoy the set and now he wants to build a Spotify playlist so he can re-listen to those songs?
Nah, hell no.
Or is he writing the order of his next set?
I have no idea, bro. But when you're writing down every rhythm, it's like...
That's what he's doing. He's making a set. So there you go. That's the thing. In which case, maybe we should just free up the playlist and just send it out if people ask. Because all they have to do is come and see us play anyway, and then they've got it.
Maybe we should share one. Me and you, Dubs. Maybe we should share one, a specific night that we have where it's like a residency.
Yeah.
A whole thing, and just like show people how we put it together. It would be interesting to see and see what people, and get people's like thoughts and opinions, to be fair. We could do an experiment.
I'll be 100% real. I'm going to have to think about whether I want to do that or not.
That's fair. I'm just throwing this out there right now off the cuff, by the way. I've not thought about it either.
Putting me on the ropes now, right? Okay, double. Put your money where your mouth is then, big man.
Hands on the ropes, getting beat up by a lab.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
You know what? Straight off the bat, I'm not like instantly opposed to that. But at the same time, mind you, this is the thing. Post it out today, in 2 months' time, it kind of becomes irrelevant anyway because the music evolves.
100%. That's what I'm saying. Like, my set on the weekend is not going to be that next month. Like, sometimes...
To be fair, mine probably is.
You think so?
There's so much shit new music coming out, bro. I'm struggling to find good new stuff.
Bro, this is... Lie. I tell you, this will actually bring us into this next point that I should actually bring up. But and I think I posted it on the Talkover story, and it was like, is it even important for DJs to be playing new music in the sets anymore? It's like you just said then, like, is there even much new shit popping? And like the same set will be in and around that maybe for a couple of months sometimes.
Yeah.
Because nothing's really banging. And like, there's a reason why we're still out here running rhythms from 2-3 years ago that's still banging the club.
This is the thing, bro. I did a show in Bulgaria at the weekend with RD, and coupled with the songs, I mean, actually the songs that I played in my warm-up before he came out, it was a much shorter warm-up this time, so I had to condense it anyway. But the songs that I played in my warm-up were same ones from my set that I was doing last summer.
Okay.
In 9 months, the same warm-up set still bangs in the crowd, like it still sets them off. It's just anthems, isn't it? Just couple anthems.
Yeah,
just chuck them in.
100%.
I for me, it's always important to put new music. I want at least 2 brand new songs in my set. Every set, brand new songs, at least. They might not get played again next week. I might play it this week and then feel like, actually, you know what? This doesn't suit the set. It didn't go off right. Da, 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 da. But yeah, I want at least 2 brand new songs in a set every time.
Yeah, I feel like I'll use like the first couple hours to test out the new shit sometimes. So even if it is like a semi-banger, it's new.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
The people aren't on it yet like that, so you can give it a little sound run, a little tester. You know what I'm saying? You can feel it out a little bit. I'm exactly the same as you. I play new shit every set, or at least test stuff. And I always have a crate where I'll just throw in like little test run rhythms like that into this little crate, and then I'll just try and just sprinkle them in like salt bay. Just a little sauce in there. Right, because sometimes I want to, even if I don't know if it's going to bang or not, I want to hear it in the club.
Yeah.
I want to know what it feels like. Do you know what I'm saying? So.
But the other thing is, the reason I do it is because, and I'll only do it if I really like these songs. Do you know what I mean? Like, it has to be songs that I really like. But I do it because then it keeps me plugged in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, because we're hearing the same songs all the time, obviously in a different order.
Mm-hmm.
But we hear the same songs. So it's always nice if I come across a song that I'm like, yeah, I actually really like the sound of this. I'm playing it tonight in the club because I want to hear it in the club. because this is the new thing that excites me. Do you know what else actually I think is sick? It gives me quite a good feeling as well, is when you see people Shazamming while you're playing, especially DJs. If there's DJs in the club and you see them on Shazam.
I'll Shazam, bro.
Oh, I'm not shy.
What do you think that's there for, man? If I hear a hit in the club and I don't know what it is.
I'm Shazamming.
I Shazammed 2 records in the dance last night.
Good times. 100%, right. I 100% do it. And you know, but you know what? The reason I actually do it is because I don't want to disturb the guy DJing by asking him what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would fully, with my chest, tap him on the shoulder and be like, yo, what is this? This is hard.
I like it when you Shazam a song and it comes up and says it's only had like 50 Shazams. I remember I done one and it was, I'd like 9 Shazams on it or something. I was like one of the first 10 people in the world to Shazam this song. Like, and it happens, man.
The DJ played it first.
Yeah. Or you've heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
Or like on a late night fucking drive or something. Like, the DJ played it first. Let me feel special, man.
I'm not ashamed to Shazam, but I'm just saying, like, it's a good feeling when you see DJs in the club and they're Shazamming while you're playing.
Yeah, 100%.
I like that feeling.
That's like back in the day. That's the equivalent of when you had a vinyl that no one else had. And you'd just be back the fun, like, oh, the vinyl is just like gleaming with light, like like God just come out of the clouds itself.
I don't think I had that too many times, if I'm honest. Because in the vinyl days, I wasn't the top guy in Brighton.
Okay.
There were other DJs that were running the scene, and I was the junior. I was the rookie DJ, just coming up doing warm ups and stuff. I do think there was a couple of tracks I was playing well before anyone else, but not because I had them exclusively.
Okay.
But I was playing them in the club way before the other DJs were, because I was onto these songs. Akon Locked Up is one of them.
Akon, that's still a ring. I still play that now.
Rob, it's come back around. It rings off.
It never left for me.
I played it in compound 2 weeks ago. Do you remember?
And I bet it went off.
Yeah, you were there. You were like stood next to me.
A lot goes through my brain when compound is on, mate. I don't even remember.
But yeah,
it did
go off. No, because I was playing so much girly songs that I was like, I even said it on the mic. I was like, let me play something that the fellas can sing to as well. Bang. Instead of trying to find my motive.
Yo, it's a ringer. I don't care, bro. Akon made a hit with that, yo. I liked early Akon. Besides, lonely, I'm so lonely. That was an awful song.
Trouble Akon was a hits. Banger.
Trouble. They had a German now, son.
Woo! What was the other one?
I know which one. Ghetto? Ghetto was a banger. That was a ringer.
Yes. Actually, he had one called Shakedown as well. And I remember I was in Boston at the time that album dropped. And I remember sitting in what was the DJ called from Boston that I was with? Master Millions was his name. DJ Master Millions. He was like the guy. He was like the DJ double of Boston. Again, this is in my rookie days, bro. Like, so he was like the man in Boston, like everybody knew him. And I remember we were in his Escalade and he was blasting that out, full blast, bro.
Shakedown
by Akon.
Wait, was it Ghetto that Hard. Song?
Yeah, Ghetto.
It's not on the debut album though.
No, it was on his second album, I think.
Yeah, because there was that, was it Trouble Nobody? Yeah, that was
Stay out of trouble, no son.
Ooh. Yeah.
Akon has a catalogue, bro.
Yeah, nearly cancelled himself the other week with some of them comments on ZZ Mills' podcast, though.
Well, Akon was on ZZ Mills.
Yo, brother, Matt, Akon was on ZZ Mills talking reckless about women, yo. Pressure.
Man. Fair play to ZZ. I didn't know she had Akon on there.
Yeah, ZZ's moving mad out here, bro. She's getting some dope guests. Yeah, she's doing a thing right now, man. Yeah,
vibes.
Big up Akon, innit? Big up Akon all day.
Big up Akon.
I can't remember where we was then, to be honest. I just lost my trail of thought.
No, we were talking about Shazamming.
Yeah. Bro, use it, man. Utilize that shit.
Yeah.
100%. That's what it's there for. If I hear, no matter where I am in the world, it even like it could be an advert. If I'm digging the beat, Shazam is out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. My Shazam is full of. In fact, let me get my get your Shazam up on your phone. Have you got it?
Yeah, yeah.
What was your last couple of Shazams on your phone?
Actually, it was from Bulgaria the other day. You know, the DJ played a couple.
Mine are so random, bro.
Are they?
Mine are so random.
Oh, it's re-downloading.
So my last four Shazams were Jessica Bao or Bayou.
Yeah.
A song called At Least. I can't play any because of copyright, man. Fuck. Sam Tompkins. You know that kid, right?
Yes, my friend, man. He is fucking sick. What song did you shoot?
Lose It All. I think it's a slow jammy thing.
His new one.
It might
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sam Tompkins is the guy, bro. He's so fucking hard.
Yeah, he's cold. He's cold. And the other one was a song by an artist called Jim Legacy, who's a new UK artist.
I'm not familiar.
Called Old Place. So that was, I think, Target played that on one of his. They do like a New Music Thursday thing on One Extra. That was one. And then another one was Tommy Profit and Fleury. Anyone? I don't even know what that was.
I don't know, exactly.
But that's the whole point. If I could just hear something random that I like and the Shazam is out, man.
My Shazam's not working because it's telling me December 2021 is the last time I Shazam something.
Okay.
But it's not because on Saturday was the last time I Shazam something.
Okay.
And it was some Bulgarian rap that was playing. That's annoying because actually now I don't know what the Bulgarian rap song was.
Bulgarian Rapalino.
I'm surprised Spotify haven't bought Shazam yet, you know.
I was going to say, because it's integrated, so there must be something there because
it
comes up. Well, yeah, because it comes up underneath every Shazam with the Spotify link, and you click it takes you straight through to Spotify to listen to it.
Maybe they have.
But
yeah, this
is something there, right?
This was a thought I had the other day. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if Spotify bought Shazam, and then as soon as you Shazammed something, it just went into your playlist?
Yeah.
So they're already 50 steps ahead of me by the looks of it.
You've got all them softwares now where you can literally just rinse a whole Spotify playlist and get it in your Serato and stuff like that. Like, I see people talking about these in the group all the time. I've never personally used any of them. But yeah, the tech now is mad, but like, you can just go and whip a whole playlist off Spotify and get it organized on your Serato and stuff. So
that's the thing. They don't even need to ask me and you for our playlists anymore. They just go on Top UK Rap. And then there you go, they've got 40 songs for their Serato crates.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there you go. Another interesting topic I wanted to bring up this week, yeah. The disclaimer for this is just in case this person is listening to the podcast, I don't mean this in any kind of shady way. I'm not throwing shade. Like, you lot know me. If I want to call someone out, I'll just say it in it. Like, I'd say it with my chest. So this is, I'm not saying this. I'm not going to say the DJ's name either because I don't want to cause any embarrassment or whatever. And this isn't said with any kind of shade or malice. It purely is a discussion I thought was interesting. And I almost brought it up in the group. There's a WhatsApp group that I'm in. I almost brought it up in there. But I thought, actually, you know what? Nah, it does come across the wrong way if I just write it in messages. So I'm going to do a podcast about it instead.
I'll just bring it to the public domain and tell everybody.
There was a message that said, I've been booked for a reggaeton night. Can anybody recommend reggaeton songs and where I can get them from? And then I don't remember exactly, but I think it basically gave the impression that it wasn't going to just be like a handful, like 15 minutes of reggaeton. This was a reggaeton night. You're going to need like 3-4 hours.
So it's a specialist thing. It's not as if you can just go in and do a little flex.
And they basically asked, can you lot put me on? Can you send me all the reggaeton that I need for this night? And it made me think, like, I this is what I nearly wrote into the WhatsApp group, but didn't want to because, like I said, I didn't want to cause embarrassment. And I felt like it would have come across the wrong way. I wasn't really even involved in the conversation. It just came up in the group I was in. But I felt like saying, like, why would you accept the booking if you don't even have the music? Because if you don't have the music, you don't have the knowledge. So now you don't know how to structure the night.
Yeah.
Like, just I know three reggaeton songs. Gasoline is one of them. So, for example, if I'm starting a reggaeton night and I know nothing about reggaeton, what happens if I play what happens if I play Gasolina in the first 10 minutes and now the song's done and now I've got four more hours to play? So it was just really interesting to me. And I've seen DJs ask about, like, oh, I'm playing it like Punjabi or like Desi Beats nights. Can someone load me up? And I think, like, why would you not? If someone asked me, yeah,
I would feel uncomfortable. My anxiety would be through the roof. And not like I'm out. You're basically out there blind.
Yeah,
you're basically blind. You don't know what's going on, bro. Like,
but why accept the booking? I don't understand what the mentality is. It's like, I don't even need to come up with an analogy for it because DJs will understand. But imagine you're a chef and you specialize in Chinese food, and now the Italian restaurant down the road wants you to come down and make pizza. I can't. All I can make is chicken chow mein, bruv. Like, I can't make a pizza. How do you make the? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I think, like, what's the motive behind it? Is it the case of, like, is it that they need the money, in which case they're just accepting everything, every job, lowest price, whatever, cool, I'll just take it because I need the money. Is it a case of, or one other thing is, some people love a challenge. So it could just be like, you know what, I want to take myself out of my comfort zone because that's how I'm going to grow as a DJ. So I'm taking on the reggaeton night so that I can become a better reggaeton DJ. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that the motive? Like,
you've got to do your need to be doing your research though, man. You can't just be out there blind and with a crate of music that's a reggaeton that someone sent you and you don't even know what's going on and you're just kind of jumping through the crates. Like, you got to do your due diligence.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. I like to think. Yeah, I'm very proficient in Afrobeats right now, and I'm a piano, very proficient. However, if a promoter called me now, today, right this second, and said, Double, we've got a 4-hour Afrobeats and Amapiano night. Yeah, Can you come and DJ for it?
That's a different situation.
I think I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, you know what? Like, I can do some of it, but not me just by myself, because I don't think I can deliver the best 4 hours of Afrobeats and Amapiano.
Yeah,
and like for a club setting, if you want it as background music or whatever, then cool. Yeah, I've got all the little B-sides and all the calmer, more mellow stuff you can play in between. But if you're doing it in a club setting, you're going to need the energy to be up for the whole entire set once people are there. And realistically, I don't think I can provide that because as well as I know Afrobeats and Amapiano, I don't feel I know it well enough to do a whole specialized night.
Yeah, 100.
You know what I mean? You're better off getting someone
4 hours
that really specializes in that genre.
Donch literally tweeted this morning, bro, saying he had to play 3 hours of Afrobeats the other day, and I had to keep explaining to the host who was egging it on. You know I'm Jamaican, right? 3 hours.
I feel like Donch's tweets are like the third presenter of the podcast.
Bro, on a level, yeah. He just talks so much fucking sense, bro. Like, he's one of my favorite tweeters, man.
Like, yeah.
He just gets it.
Nah, that is... it's a weird one. Where do you stand on that? Would you accept a booking? If someone said to you, like, we've got a dancehall night, it's 5 hours long, all you can play is dancehall.
No. Not taking it, man. I reckon, obviously, my main strong genres are obviously R&B and hip hop.
Yeah.
And then my secondary genres are probably Afrobeats and dancehall.
Yeah.
I would have said I was stronger in dancehall a couple of years back, but I heavily invested into Afrobeats. Like, I'm on job with Afro now. Like, I could probably. I may be able to stretch a 3 hour at a push, but I wouldn't be able to keep it at the highest of caliber for them 3 hours.
No.
Like, yeah, probably not. I probably wouldn't take it, man. Like,
and that's the thing, because someone else can do a better job, isn't it?
Unless there was a giant bag.
They'd be like, yeah, but we want to give you 50 grand for the 4 hours. All right, cool. You know what? I'm jumping in the WhatsApp group and I'm asking everybody, have you guys got any Amapiano?
Everything we've just said we're against. Everything we just said we're against, we're outside, bro.
Even
send me rhythms, send me crates.
even if they're dot wavs, send them.
Take them all, bro. We're hoarding at this moment. Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions. Maybe the person that are at the reggaeton night, maybe they're getting 20 bags for the night.
By all means, do you know what I mean? In certain situations, get the bag, bro. Because, like, bro, cost of living crisis right now.
That's a real thing. But this goes back to what we were saying in the podcast when we were talking about fees. If you want to make the bag, is DJing the right place to do that? No. Yep.
I hear that.
Like, DJing is a lucrative career for a lot of people, but there is so much overheads and so much work that goes into this. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy way to make quick money.
No, it's not.
The big money, and I'm talking about life-changing money, that's 5% of all DJs ever.
100%. It's a small percentage, man.
Stop today and just be like, I don't want to DJ anymore. I'm living off the money.
To be able to stop. But, like, I reckon the percentage is a lot higher of people that can get to a point where they'll live very comfortably. Maybe not retire or just stop.
I'm talking about life-changing money.
I'm talking about
DJs that are making themselves millionaires off of DJing.
Yeah, but
that's
even,
probably 5% of all DJs.
It could even be less. A lot of these DJs that do make the big cheddar as well, they got other business ventures in and around it. Like, look at Charlie Sloth, bro. He's definitely a millionaire.
Yeah, 100%. But that's not from DJing.
Exactly, but it's built around DJing. He's built the little branches and, like, compounded it all. But like you say, you got to be clever out here, man, and tap into build the different routes and avenues around it. Like, I feel like that is probably one of the better options than thinking you're going to be, don't get me wrong, if you want to be a superstar DJ, by all means, go for it. Like, I'm not trying to piss on anyone's dreams, but like you say, it's few and far between of people like your Calvin Harris's. You know what I mean?
But even then, those guys, Calvin Harris ain't getting booked for an R&B club.
Not anymore.
Never. No one's booking Calvin. He's not taking an R&B set.
He's not doing an R&B set, but he would have done smaller bookings back in, you know what I mean? Like, my man now is probably only stepping out for a couple mil for a festival of 100,000 people or something.
100%, but not because he took a reggaeton booking when he has a reggaeton.
Yeah. If you're talking,
you know what I mean? Like, he would have stayed in his lane.
But then look at the Funk Wav album releases, bro. My man's doing little collabs, and you got Migos on joints and this and that, and, like, more R&B hip-hoppy flavors. Like, Calvin can maneuver. You'd be surprised.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah.
Could hold down a set.
I don't actually know if he produces himself or if he has someone that makes the beats for him. There was a song, I think, he did called China with Dizzy Rascal, which was the first time that I heard Calvin Harris not in his dance music bag.
Okay.
And it was like a rap kind of grime sounding song. Okay. And that was where I really thought, like, actually, you know what? Calvin Harris is a bad man. Like,
bro, I'm telling you now, the Funk Wab albums, bro, even you just look at the track listings, and he's semi doing like, check this, you got DJ Khaled, man can pull together the most random collabs.
Yeah,
on his albums. Calvin does that on them Funk Wab albums. I'm just looking at the first edition. Calvin Harris, Frank Ocean, Migos on one joint. Then he's got Young Thug and Pharrell on one, Future and Khalid, Travis Scott and A-Track, Snoop Dogg and John Legend, Pharrell Williams with Katy Perry, Kalani with Lil Yachty, like, random, it's random, bro. But then
tapped
he
tapped into that US rap market.
100%. But then on the second one, he's got like Dua Lipa. Bro, Dua Lipa with Young Thug. Like,
yeah, what are they, Funk Wav?
It's called Funk Wav Bounces.
Yeah, that's why I didn't listen to him. If they'd been called Funk MP3s, brother, I would have been all over it. Funk Wav.
What's that one, is it?
I didn't bother.
Steph London with Coi Leray. Like,
Coi Leray.
Coi Leray. Not Leroy. Coi Leray.
I know. I learned that lesson
this
2 weeks ago.
This guy is a plebeian. Charlie Puth with Shen Sayer, bro. Like, he's definitely in the bag, man. Georgia Smith with Lil Durk.
I'll be honest, and I might get set on fire for saying this, but I've never heard of any of these songs by Calvin Harris. So
they were never really out there like full release. He drops them as projects and that they're on Spotify and stuff, but I don't know whether they really hit the commercial market like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, man.
Funk, he didn't send out
MP3.
Funk.wives.
Yeah. In your face.
That was a little bit of a tangent.
So what? That's what we do on here.
It is what we do.
There's no rules to the talk over. It's called the talk over. There's no rules. That's what we do. We talk. But
to conclude that topic.
We talk over each other.
We just talk over. It's just layers of topics with no answers or conclusions. It's just talk over and over and over. That's what it's going to start being called. Talk over and over. And yeah. Over again.
When we get a new intro, that's what it's going to be.
But in my opinion, in my humble opinion, I don't think DJs should be accepting bookings that they're not qualified for.
I don't either. Unless it's got a gigantic bag.
Imagine going in for heart surgery and a dentist turns up.
Oh, hi, we're about to save your life. Dude comes in with a fucking white mask on and a supersonic gel.
Say,
open up.
Oh, holy shit, what has happened?
You know what, yeah? Shout out Booper, right? Because I had
this week's sponsor.
Bro. My camera sees, but is that my camera? Is my camera died? Yours has.
My battery's gone. It's had enough
of us. Bro, shout out Booper, yeah, because I had a crown snap in half the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that cost me about 600 flipping pounds to get done. And then I've gone back in and I was just like, I went in for a fill-in initially, but then my crown had broken. I'm not even going to react to that. My crown had broken on a chewing gum.
Oh, shit.
So I was like, yo, I went in there and just was talking about cost of living crisis and all that. Yo, man was like, it's going to cost you £650 to fix that, he said. And I was just like,
Because they'd done a dodgy job that had already broken.
Nah, they hadn't done a dodgy job, bro. The crown's like 5 years old. And I have this thing where I grind my teeth in my sleep. I have to put this mouth guard in sometimes long. So they said it had fractured in like 3 places. So I just got in. I'm like, so hopefully they never listen to this, or I'll never get looked after by a Booper again. I got in on a sulky one, like, oh, cost of living crisis, man. I ain't got £650 to fix a tooth. Bro, they done it for free.
Fuck off.
I swear, kid you not. Got a whole new crown in the back there, bro. Big one. One of my big teeth.
That's out of order, because my big teeth, my grown-up teeth, my big teeth at the back are fucked, and the only reason I'm not getting them done is because they want loads of money to do it. And I just said to the dentist, literally
do you go private? Do you do Booper?
No, but I said to the dentist the other day, I was like, I'll come back when it hurts. I was like, because right now it doesn't hurt, so I'm not spending like £1,500 and all this shit.
Yeah, mine wasn't actually hurting, but I was just more, bro. I had a half a cracked tooth in my mouth, and it's all I can feel on my tongue, and it was absolutely pissing me off. I'm like, when I'm eating meals and that, this is going to be very technical. So I just got in there to get my fill in. I explained it to him, and he was like, oh, he was a bit angry with me at first. I was like, oh, what do you want me to do, bro? I think I chose for my crown to snap in half. Like, do you know what I mean? Think that's my fault, brother. I said, I'd literally bit into a Wrigley's and it snapped in half. And I was just putting on the waterworks, talking about cost of living.
Crying? Were you there in mistake? Was there tears?
Oh, I lay in the chair and cried like a little bitch. And got a free.
Please.
Yo, whatever it was, it worked, man. And then and then he even gave me a Goodwill discount on my filling. So I got like probably like £700 worth of stuff done for like a wanna.
Vibes. How embarrassing. Do you know how embarrassing it's going to be? You know? If I try this and I go and sit in the dentist chair and bawl my eyes out and they still charge me.
Yeah, but the idea is you got to get cushy with your guy. So like this guy's been doing my teeth for like 10 years.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, I don't even know my dentist. I don't even know his name.
Yeah, because I just don't like going to the NHS because they're in the mud. Completely.
Do you know, here's a dentist story for you. This is why I don't like going to the dentist and why I've only been about four times since I was 10, right? When I was 10, funnily enough, I had to have a tooth removed.
I got a balloon.
So they injected my gum anesthetic to make it all numb.
Oh, I have nightmares about this.
The anesthetic didn't work.
Oh, my God.
She's gone in and grabbed the tooth and pulled the tooth out of my mouth with no anesthetic, bruv.
Yo, bro, I have nightmares about this, bro, to the point where
mine was a lifemare. It really happened.
Oh, wow. Actually, that's like that film where they're doing surgery and she's awake, but they think she's asleep, but she's not.
No, it was
and
worse.
It's like
because
a horror film and she's just there like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know the one. But wasn't she? She was under anesthetic though, innit? So she couldn't feel it. She's awake, but she was paralyzed. Oh, maybe she could. But anyway, no, mine was worse. I don't care what body parts they were chopping off of her. Mine hurt more.
Yeah, that's like a gangster flick, man, where they start ripping teeth out with pliers and that, like, bitch.
Literally, like some mafia shit. I was ready to tell her anything she asked.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, brother. Yeah, that is. I have nightmares about anesthetic not kicking in.
Really that
do.
Really happened. That really happened to me. I was like 10 years old. Ever since then, fuck dentists.
Bro, after that,
it was a conspiracy.
My whole face was just sagging on one side. Yeah, like I was about to have a stroke because the anesthetic was that strong. But like my whole face was just like hanging. And then at the end, when he says, "Wash your mouth out." So I'm leaning over and I've got a big. Bro, literally, it just said all over the floor. I'm just looking on the floor, man. I'm just like, I just pissed on the deck. Oh my God. This is a great way to finish up this week's episode.
Yeah, it is. Well, quickly hopping back to the last topic. I wanted some interaction from everyone that listens because I actually really wanted to know from DJs, what would be the reason that you took a booking that you weren't qualified to take?
Okay, how far would you go, basically?
No, not how far would you go.
How
but
much
like,
money
using,
would it take?
No, using this as a specific example, if it was a reggaeton night and you have no reggaeton, if you're going to accept the booking, why? Like, what would be the reason that you would do that? Like I said, is it because, you know what, funds are short and I need to just make up the money, cost of living? Or is it, well, I want to get out of my comfort zone and this playing to new audiences keeps me fresh, or is it just the fact that I want to grow my fan base and I want to play to an audience I've never played to before because I know I can shell it. And even though I've never heard this music before, I know I can kill it.
I think, what's
the reason?
It's good, but I think it is a good challenge, yeah. And I feel like it definitely broadens your horizons as a DJ, makes you more informed on different genres of music and stuff like that. Sick. Amazing. But you got to do that research properly before you go stepping out there. You can't just be, I'm here for it. If you're going to do the job correctly.
Yeah.
You can't just be going out there blindfolded like you're trying to beat up a pinata. Just swinging.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the reason, for example, why I don't do weddings. And I don't know how to structure a wedding party. I don't know all the cheesy stuff that you would play at a wedding. Do you know what I mean? I don't have it. I don't have that knowledge. Not interested. And I wouldn't enjoy it either. Do you know what I mean? So for that reason, and I could make a bag, £1,000 a night. Huh? Yeah, for that reason, I am out. But I could make a load of money doing weddings. And it's less stress, maybe.
Yeah, weddings are technical, man. Like,
I wouldn't enjoy it because that's not where my knowledge is. It's not my speciality.
Yeah, 100%. I actually turn down a lot of wedding inquiries, believe it or not. I've never been that guy. And then the couple of ones that I've semi-entertained, I'll always say to them, like, if you want a turn up at your wedding, that's my compromise. If you want me to come in and light it up like it's a club.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe do a little bit in the middle where there's a dance. Cool. But if you think I'm coming in like Disco Dave, wedding guy, not cussing wedding DJs, by the way, just the generalization thing. Like just
wedding DJs are actually very good at what they do.
Very good.
Because they know how to do the weddings.
Very, exactly. There you go, because they're qualified for the job. It's like us going out there, we ain't wedding DJs.
No, exactly.
So that's why I would say to potential clients, if you want me to light it up on a club flex and play the shit that I play out, then maybe I can entertain it. other than that, I might just quote you 20 grand and they'll say, nah, and then it's done.
Yeah, just price yourself out. And you know what? If they turn around and say, yeah, that's fine, 20 grand's in the budget, cool, I'm doing it. I'll do your wedding. I'll even play at your
kids. I once played for an African
Christmas
prince
christening
one time, and they just wanted Afrobeats.
West African weddings, from what I have seen,
it was a madness, bro.
Lit as
lit. Lit, lit. I've done like 3-4 weddings, and one of them was for an African prince, yeah? Sick. And it was all Afrobeats, and it was a mad thing, bro. Super cultural vibes, energy, crazy, yo. I was like, wow. And like, just money getting thrown around everywhere. Like, it was just on some mad thing. I was like, wow, okay, this is lit. And then the other one was like a private one for a friend in the mountains of Tuscany. Well, they just wanted to turn up. They wanted to turn up, bro. And they'd hired all the gear and got all the pioneers, took out into these mountains with a setup and that. So like, for friends and stuff like that, I'll make a compromise there. But yeah, like you say, same.
I'll tell you who,
say, man. If you're not qualified, you don't look at it.
I'll tell you who shelled it once, yeah? This was last year. Prospect's wedding.
Yeah, yeah, cold. That looks sick.
Jones, right, I had the best time. The best time ever, honestly, yeah. I think Jones.
It was
Jonesy
all the boys,
DJ,
wasn't it? Yeah, wasn't it? Jonesy, yeah, CJ, Jonesy, everybody DJ. Having a free-for-all.
Did CJ DJ? CJ DJ. I think CJ, bro, I was CJ so burst. I was so burst, I don't really remember. But I do remember Jonesy DJ'd, because me and Jazz Purple were hanging off the speakers, singing our hearts out, bro. Like,
it looked lit. But then
it was so much fun.
DJ,
and those,
so
yeah, yeah, and those. But even like the people there, everyone was on vibes, yeah, and it 100%. Was sick. That's a wedding that I would have loved to have played for. But yeah, even then, to be honest, them guys did it better than I could have done. Just to say, everything about this, like, it was sick. So yeah, props to CJ.
Like you said, bro, there's
if
ways
you
to
played,
play weddings,
I don't remember because I was that drunk, but I do remember Jonesy.
I definitely
playing.
Think you did. I remember seeing videos on Instagram. I was meant to be there that weekend, bro, and I couldn't even make it. I fully missed out. I remember seeing the stories and I was just sulking.
I'll be real, bro. I think that was like my favorite night last week.
Last week, yeah.
Last year, sorry. I think that was my favorite. My favorite night.
Double needs a coffee, man.
Yeah, I do. My favorite night last year, I think, probably was Prospect's wedding. And it's because the party was just vibes. But yeah.
Prospect is a DJ and a promoter, bro. That's one of the dopest brands in Edinburgh, in Tipsy. Like, what better person to put a wedding together? Like, if I ever get, when I get married, the party is going to be a mad thing.
Mazzaline.
Oh my days. I'm booking EZ for my wedding. And then a couple of the homies around it.
Vibes.
I want EZ in my wedding chopping.
You could do a compound,
mate.
A compound wedding.
Compound
edition.
Wedding.
Wedding edition. Imagine if you could do that. Compound wedding parties. Sick.
Yeah. Thanks for that. 2% for you. For that idea. See?
Sweet.
Joke. Yeah, man. Anyway.
Just make sure no one's playing any dot wavs. That doesn't even make any sense. I think we're done.
We're done, man.
We're done.
Seen one of them episodes today. Before we started this episode, I was in a foul mood as well. I didn't even want to record. I was ready to just allow it. So if I've come across like I've been a bit bitchy today or a bit off key or a bit random, it's because it's one of them random days. It happens to the best of us.
And the second best of us.
Yeah, it happens to Wavs.
Anyway, Talkover, at Talkover Pod on the socials. If we've asked, we have asked questions. If you are answering the questions we've asked today, hit us on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter. Get involved in the debate. Because, yeah, I specifically actually want to know the answer to some of the questions that I've asked today. So, yeah, hit us up, man. Number one DJ podcast in the UK. And we're back again next week. Stylus, double... # Talkover Pod. Bye.
Stixy low.
Stixy low.
See ya.